And then cotton the second balls. Was the cotton swabs. Swabs.
Swabs. cotton swabs.
Cotton swabs. cotton. cotton swabs.
Swabs. Then it got to be S-W-O-B-S.
I'll say swab and then I'll say swab.
swab. Cotton swab. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello, hello.
We're here again.
Yes, with another episode
of
A Fine Podcast
with your hosts,
Joseph
and
Amanda.
Here we are.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
For my score.
For your score.
But if you'd like to review a 5 out of 5 too, that'd be great. Or 4 out of 5,
no,
whatever.
No, 5 out of 5 would be fantastic. Find us on Apple Podcasts. We're looking to boost our ratings there.
Yeah, our Spotify.
Leave a comment. 5 out of 5 stars. Be great.
Give us our honest feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After the honesty. 5 out of 5 stars are left.
Well, yes. As long as we earn it. Don't just flat out give us it if we don't deserve it.
Oh my goodness.
Hey.
We deserve it.
Trying to support truth here.
You could support truth. Just leave your honest feedback in the comment section after you rate the 5 stars.
Yeah, 5 out of 5, but it sucks.
Hopefully it doesn't suck, and that's why you're tuning in to us. So
no.
You need to have confidence in yourself.
I do.
Great.
And I'm confident enough to get this thing rolling. So we're going into episode 15 today of season 1.
And it's called?
It's called Deep Throat.
So when all the children get sick, Fran takes Grace to the doctor and learns that she herself needs a tonsillectomy.
Yes, it is time for her to finally have those things removed after
those things.
29 years.
29 plus years.
Yes. Well, plus one because we had her birthday. So
plus supposedly who knows how many more. Mid-30s.
Right.
So what'd you think about this episode as a whole?
I mean, I've never had my tonsils removed, or maybe I do. I don't think I did. I'd have to ask my mother and father about that one, but I don't believe I have.
We'll be dying to hear what your parents have to say in the comment section.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you'd probably remember that. I'm going to go with no.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, so I don't know. I can't relate to this, but I mean, I have been sick before, so like in the beginning. The kids, I can relate to that. Maybe not ringing the bell, but
yeah, let's dive anyway, right into it.
It was a fine episode.
A fine episode being reviewed on A Fine Podcast. So in the first scene, we have all the children. They're all sick on the couch.
Yes, they're very ill. They cannot provide food for themselves or liquid of any sort. So they have a bell to ring.
Somehow they can move their hand back and forth and ring the bell.
Yes.
They can do that.
So they are summoning Niles and Fran to provide them all their daily necessities.
Who are very annoyed at this point with everything.
Indeed. Niles mentions that if they ring the bell again, they will wring their necks.
That's pretty graphic.
Just like Cece ringing Santa's neck.
So that's right.
There's a lot of ringing involved.
A lot of ringing. And not the one that starts with R.
Right.
So Niles also says, eventually they'll go back to school and then they'll die.
Or they'll die.
Or they'll die.
Yeah, what did they do?
They'll either go back to school or they'll die.
So it will Niles. Stop at some point. So he's looking on the brighter side at the same time with the negativity. So
that's great. And then Fran is just complaining that she desperately needs her 7 hours of personal time during the day when they're usually at school. Like, how dare they ask her for help when they're homesick? She says, how can she continue to be the bright and engaging, young, vivacious nanny that everybody knows and loves if she's helping the children during the day? That's her free time. Come on, guys.
Yeah, she needs her own personal time to decompress from the children.
7+ hours every time they're at school.
Yeah.
Which goes back to the comment that Cece made in one of those original episodes. What do you do in your free time during the day when the children are at school and you're the nanny?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
She just recharges, takes care of herself.
She needs that decompression time from the children.
So Fran and Niles, they come in and they deliver the food. And for Grace, she has toast in the shape of a horse, which I thought was, that's cutting a lot of the bread out of the picture when you start to shape toast and bread into animals.
Yeah, maybe she's repurposing that for Maggie or Brighton's dishes instead.
Yeah, they can get the scraps left behind.
Right.
But Grace asks Fran, what kind of horse is this? And she says, it's a gelding, which is a castrated male horse. Yikes.
Yeah.
Because Fran is upset with them, so she takes a bite out of the horse before answering that question.
Right. Yes.
So what'd you think of that part? I want your raw, honest opinion for our viewers. They only deserve the best from you. Pure honesty, like you said. You're all about honesty, so I want to hear what your opinion is on this.
I didn't care for this statement.
Why not?
Because, I mean, I don't know. That's a pretty terrible comparison. So.
Yeah, I thought it was quite disturbing.
Yeah. So I'd like to move on from that comment.
Only honesty here, folks. That's why you tune in, right? So next, Niles tells a story about his mother taking care of him when he's sick. And this is kind of nice because we don't really typically hear anything about Niles and his family. His mom, she is called Mummy, and she used to bundle him up, sit him by the fire, and not too close, though, and bring him a cup of tea and crumpets and little soldiers made out of toast when he was sick, which is such a cute story.
Yes.
But
my friend quickly intervenes and says, yeah, enough about your stories, even though Niles responds, you know, well, we always have to hear your stories. Why can't we?
Which is so true.
Indulge in someone else's.
I agree with this statement.
Yeah, friend's a little egotistical here.
That was like a selfish comment. Like, just hear about my stories. We don't want to hear anything about you. Come on, you're wasting time.
Yeah, that was a pretty low blow by Fran.
Shocking.
Yeah.
You would think Fran would care about this.
Yes, yeah. Apparently not.
But she says, better you should remain an enigma.
Yes. A mystery.
And is it better that he remains in a mystery? Does it build to his character to be mysterious like that?
I mean, yes, we don't know what his last name is. It just says Niles. So
it's true.
He's the mystery man. The butler with all the hidden secrets.
All the secrets. Niles, like Cher. So Fran still can't help herself, and she then proceeds to tell a story about her uncle who sounds like Judy Garland when he sings Over the Rainbow.
So yes. Yeah.
That's how that scene ends.
Yeah. A good remark. A strange remark. A questionable remark.
She has a lot of uncles. There's a lot of uncle references.
Yes.
In this next scene, we see Cece, and she says she's so concerned about the children, but she's not really concerned about them. She's just afraid that Maxwell's going to catch their sickness, and he won't be able to take her to her sorority reunion that she has coming up.
Yes, she's ready to show off to her sorority sisters that her catch of her man, mainly because at this point, everyone else is going to be, it's just this big bragging competition, really. It's not even like nice to see each other. It's more just trying to
impress and one up
show everyone
other.
Off. Yeah. To one another and say, look how successful and great my life is. And
it sounds like a very catty event. Like, I think I would avoid this one.
But it does seem right up CeCe's alley. So
the most impressive thing she can do is invite Maxwell Sheffield as her arm candy to this event.
Yes, or even play off that it's her husband.
Right. Who knows?
Yes.
Who knows if she was going to tell some lies about that?
Yeah.
So Max had to have had this planned, but then he says, oh, is that this weekend? I need to see if I'm free now. And which is kind of mean, because if he already planned this with Cece and now he's just pretending not to remember. Or
it was a joke.
Right.
He was just saying, yeah, he was just saying that to be like, oh, you know, because he was just being funny to act like he forgot, but
so
he
it was
actually
a
knew
joke.
About it. Yes.
Okay.
I took it as a joke. Yeah.
Well, Cece says, you're such a tease. You wouldn't leave me hanging, would you? And then Niles comes in with his first burn here and he says, well, we'd cut you down in a week or two.
Yeah. Yes. He's just playing the string along, but. But anyway, no, I mean, Max knew this. And,
okay, good,
and then
good.
Niles just wants to try to act like two. He's just playing along just to slap it to her later. So
I love that Niles is hanging out and making comments here. So Cece says, I can't wait to show you off to all of my friends with their handsome doctor husbands, their perfect children, and all the children that they had while they were juggling their multiple PhDs that they got. So like you said, they're all bragging about their husbands, kids, but also like their education and jobs and stuff, I'm sure.
Yes, which then Max tries to
build Cece up here.
Yeah, reassure her and says, oh, well, you've got a successful career and a successful career.
He can't think of anything else to say here.
Yes, because she's not married, no children.
All she does is work.
Yes, so it only points to she's done this one great thing, but the others have done multiples. I mean, let alone the one that's already great to have. But
right. I mean, I'm sure she can put together a list, or he could put together a better list than that of accomplishments. But Niles then makes his second burn here, and he says, yes, how do you balance them both?
Yes. He's keeping them heavy here. He's not letting them down and
just jabbing.
Yeah, two like back to back. That was, I don't think we've had them so simultaneous before.
I don't think we've had so many remarks as this episode.
Yeah, no, this one definitely by far was one of the most. Yes, yeah.
So then Fran comes in and Cece sprays Fran with Lysol. And Fran says, whew, great smell. That's my mother's fragrance. A lot of people wouldn't appreciate being sprayed directly like that with Lysol.
Yeah. Well, I think it just shows to, you know, how much of a clean person her mom is. I mean, with the plastic couches and everything.
Oh, right.
So,
right.
Lysol, plastic couches.
I didn't put that together.
All of it, yeah. She's just a
obsessed.
Yes.
Yep.
Germaphobe, probably.
So Cece says, you can't be too careful. There's germs everywhere. Nobody touch me. And Niles then says, we'll try to restrain ourselves.
Yeah, so that we're already at number three within the same scene. So it is
just keeping him hot and fresh.
Yeah, he's just on a roll and he's just not stopping. So he's just going to keep chugging along.
He'll have some more too.
Yes, he will.
So Fran tells Maxwell she thinks she has to take Gracie to the doctor. She's not getting any better. And then Fran starts to cough and she may be sick.
Yes, is she sick or is it her tonsils infecting her? Or is it something else?
All right, let's get to one of the craziest scenes now where things start to not make so much sense. So next they're at the doctor's office, which I would imagine is the pediatrician's office because it's Gracie's doctor. And then Fran's stepping on the scale there and she says, oh, silly doctor's offices. Scales are always at least 6.5 pounds off here.
Yes, I'm just secretly wishing
she weighed less.
Yes, it's like she wishes it was like a magic eight ball or something. instead of
an actual scale, which.
Right. It just shows her the weight that she wishes she wishes to be versus the actual truth.
Which is crazy. She should be confident in herself. So Fran then starts to take all of the doctor's supplies and stuffs them in her purse.
Yeah, because you could never realize what you could use with all these different items.
What you can do with it.
Personal routine and makeup and whatnot.
Yeah, she plans to use them for her personal makeup routine.
Yes, the one thing, I don't remember the first thing she grabbed, but
it's like tongue depressors. So
that
like,
was the last thing, yeah.
Oh,
and then
cotton
the second
balls.
Was the cotton swabs. Swabs.
Swabs. Swabs. Cotton, cotton swabs. Swabs.
Cotton swabs. cotton. Cotton swabs.
Swabs, then it got to be S-W-O-B-S.
I'll say swab, and then I'll say swab.
Swab, cotton swab.
Got my Massachusetts and New York accents.
Cotton bull. The first thing may have been like something like Q-tips or something. I don't know. Why would they have that?
Yeah, or the Q-tips is what I was actually thinking of, not the cotton swabs, but
not the cotton what?
Swabs.
Swabs. So, would you count this as a finesse moment? Stealing from the doctor's office?
I don't condone. I think the stealing of aspect of it's not great. That's not very finessey, but I do believe the being able to use those for other
purposes.
Ideas than what they were invented for as Finesse. So
that's crafty.
We'll do it for that.
So at least she's creative.
Yes.
So Gracie's pretty scared here to see the doctor. And Fran tells her, just be glad there's no stirrups here, like my doctor. And Gracie says, oh, your doctor has a pony? And then Fran tells her, oh, well, never mind. You'll discover the joys of womanhood once you're older. So she's not talking about horses.
Yes. For those who didn't.
For those who didn't understand. Well, she is definitely not in the middle of a horse stable environment.
For some of the men out there, in case they don't know.
Explain what stirrups are.
Once again, I will be moving on.
You said nothing but honesty for our people. Be honest with what you know about stirrups.
I'm being honest about moving on.
So you have to place your feet in stirrups so doctors can check in there.
Let's go.
So then the doctor comes in. He says, don't worry, I'm very gentle. And Gracie says, Fran says that I don't want a gentle doctor. And Fran says, that's Gentile. Not gentle.
Yes.
So
Gracie getting her words mixed up.
Yes. And Fran wants a Jewish doctor.
Right.
So the doctor starts to listen to Gracie and he puts his stethoscope on one side and doesn't even tell Gracie to breathe in. And then he's done listening to Gracie's breathing, which that's pretty interesting. How can you get a good read on what the heck happened when you just put it on one side and then you just whip it away and you don't check anywhere else?
Yeah, I'd be a little nervous about this guy's credentials if
bad moment.
That's all he checked when I'm breathing. Yes, I mean every time I've been, it's always been at least like 4 or 5 different spots they're checking. So.
Yes, and they say, take a deep breath. Okay, let it out. And he just went like this, beep, beep, and then went off. So that could have been worked out.
Joys of acting.
Yeah. So then the doctor asks where all of his medical supplies went. And then he realizes Fran took them all, and he retrieves them to use them on Gracie out of Fran's purse, which I would think they are not sterilized anymore at that point to use them out of a patient's caregiver's purse. So,
yes, but at least the patient is someone in the person's family, so they're already been exposed to those germs.
But a true doctor would not have done that, I'm sure.
Well, this guy already only did one pass with the stethoscope, so
one pass.
He's really not showing his credentials here.
So, Fran sees a lot of diplomas on the wall for Ivy League schools, which I don't believe. Because he went to 3 Ivy League schools and couldn't figure out how to use a stethoscope.
Yeah, well, this was also like strange because he went for all these different things, but then
all 3 different Ivy League schools, Harvard, Columbia, Yale.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been to any of those. But I mean, if someone else has been out there, let us know. But wouldn't you want to just stick with the
one school
you went to? So if I went to Harvard, wouldn't I just want to would I be like betraying my alma mater if I'm going to go to a different school for like a different, whatever the term is, where you go for a special thing afterward?
Yeah, specialty. So he was going, he says he's certified in many different specialties. So unless only one of those schools were offering that specialty and that was the reason why he went, I don't understand why.
Yeah.
But maybe those schools specialize. Yeah, maybe they have better programs for specific things. Or like top of the line, they're beating each other in certain areas.
Yeah.
But anyway, no one believes that he went to these 3 colleges.
Maybe there's just no support for alma maters. It's just I'm going for, when you're that high in the game, it's just showing for, you're going for whatever's the best program out there.
Whatever.
In each individual thing.
Yeah. So getting down to the last piece that truly doesn't make him a legitimate pediatrician here. So Fran shows Gracie how to open her mouth for inspection. And she's trying to make her more comfortable here for the doctor. And the doctor looks at Gracie's throat and says, oh, you're going to be fine in a little bit. And then he takes a look at Fran's throat, gives her a full inspection, even though she's well into her adult years. And somehow this pediatrician makes a judgment on Fran and says, oh, I am going to have to take out your tonsils.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I was thinking this, you know, when we watched it, but now that we just talked about he's got all these different specialties, I guess that could explain why, though,
But you'd make a judgment call when you're currently in your pediatrician office and just see an adult patient there and say, yep, I think I'm going to take out your tonsils.
Yes, but he's also he specialized in tonsils, and so he noticed her tonsils and said, hey, I should
he just noticed it. Recommendation. And she's not even registered as his patient. And he can make that call.
Yeah, because he's specialized in all these.
I'm pretty sure you have to be a patient of the doctor for them to say, I am going to take your tonsils out.
Maybe they were life-threatening or something, and he needed to take action.
Yeah, right. Defending him. Crazy. So Fran says, unless it's for dinner and dancing, she's really not interested in him taking her out. Taking the tonsils out. So then in this next scene, Fran has to go to the hospital to get her tonsils out, and she's very scared of dying and she's unsure of the place as a whole.
Yes, everyone's kind of making jokes about if she dies, if they can take her stuff. And
this was morbid. This is pretty morbid.
Yeah, this is a little dark, especially for like a tonsillectomy. Maybe if it was something a little more, I don't know, that'd still be pretty bad. Yeah, regardless, it's pretty
no one
dark,
wants to hear that when they're actually in the hospital for surgery. But
yeah, maybe the kids thought it was like fun and light to try to cheer her up, but it's kind of doing the opposite of the inverse of what they were
just making
for,
her more scared.
Yeah,
Maggie says, oh, I love your vest, can I have it, you know, if you don't make it.
Yeah, Niles wants his her Reba McEntire collection.
He mentions those twice. And then Fran says to Maggie, I'll leave it for you in my will. And then she says to Niles, like, you can't even wait till they put the tag on my toe to ask me this.
Yeah.
Max says, why is everybody trying to be so morbid here? And then he says, there's absolutely no risk involved. And then he says, well, your life insurance is paid up, isn't it? So he's just adding to the depression of this.
Yeah, but that is, unless like she added him as the benefactor.
He's just trying to make sure she has all of her ducks in a row in case she passes away.
Yeah. But it like wouldn't even go to him. So I don't even understand.
No, he's like a weird just joke. For her, he wants to make sure.
I guess, yeah. Like
for her
parents,
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of nice, at least.
Yeah, but is it nice that he's bringing up stuff that has to do with death, too?
No, but I mean, at least he's thoughtful for her parents that
sure
they can be well endowed.
Well endowed
at her passing.
Yeah.
With financial cash.
Well endowed. So Fran says they've got no padded hangers, no hair conditioner, not even a little sewing kit here. And she walks in with like several suitcases of clothing, even though she's only staying overnight.
Yes. Yeah. The clothing thing was. But she does have a response to that, saying she's got to look her best. It's one at a time. She'll be around all these doctors. And
she promised her mother.
Yes. It's a shot at finding a man. So she's taking it with all these clothes.
Hanging up. Going to have outfit changes around the clock.
Also, I just thought it was strange when the nurse comes in and she looks at Niles and she's like, get in the bed. And Niles is like, I'm not even the patient. She's like, I don't care.
No, she says, I know, in a seductive voice, because she's hitting on Niles.
Yeah, but then out of the writing, he was like a little strange because then she just completely moves on from it and then just talks to Fran like normal. I don't know, like the interaction was a little strange to me. Like it was like, you get in bed. I know. All right. So anyway, Fran.
I don't know. It reminds me of like a nurse who has a lot to take care of and a lot to do. So she has to obviously take care of Fran and get that going. And she mentions her shift is over in 15 minutes, so she has to get out of here. But she wanted to quickly hit on Niles, make that known, and then get to Fran and try to force the papers in front of her face to sign.
That so, makes sense.
Just taking care of business. A lot of stuff in one interaction.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so my big question was, why does she have to sleep there overnight if the surgery is tomorrow? Because then Maxwell, the kids, and Niles, they all say, well, have a good night, Miss Fine. We'll see you tomorrow before the surgery. Have fun sleeping over. You sleep over at the hospital and waste a whole night there to do nothing and then have like half a day a free time tomorrow and then you have the surgery? Why would they want to keep you for that?
Yeah, I didn't understand this unless this was like a thing in the 90s. But I mean, I would hate to do that today, especially with these medical bills. Each night you stay there, it's like a whole bunch of extra money. So I'd be
thousands.
I would not want to just stay there when I'm totally fine.
It could be a 90s thing and maybe they changed it. But today, Google says a tonsillectomy is usually done as an outpatient procedure. That means you'll be able to go home the same day you have the surgery. And an overnight stay is possible only if any complications arise.
Yeah, maybe they've just gotten so great at it and we're just like, yank them out.
You come in the same day, they take them out, you go home.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Let us know if you forgot your tonsils out in the 90s and you had to stay overnight.
Yeah, let us know if you've had that surgery in the 90s. I'm very curious.
Yeah.
As a final goodbye for the night, Grace gives Fran her teddy bear to comfort her. And the family has to leave. And everybody will see her tomorrow. And we see how Fran is settling into her hospital room. And she has a roommate in her room. Which, would you like having a random roommate in your room?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
I mean, she's sleeping, so that's nice. So.
Yeah. An older woman, and she's totally asleep.
Yeah, so I wouldn't mind that.
So Fran is not supposed to eat anything before surgery. She's closely being monitored here. But then she starts eating all of her roommate's food that got delivered to her because she is just conked out.
Yes.
So she completely goes against orders.
She's snacking on her food.
And it's time to watch TV now. So Fran takes the TV remote. And she tries to change the channel, but the TV remote is sitting on her roommate's table.
Yes. And little does she know, it's the remote to the patient's bed.
Her hospital bed. So instead of changing the channel, she's getting really frustrated. The channel's not changing because she is moving her sleeping older woman's bed up and down in a furious fashion with the buttons that she's pressing.
Yes. The headrest is going down. The legs are going up. The head is going up. They're both going up at the same time. Some are going down. It's, but yeah. Well, then they show, I guess, what, you know, that she gets sandwiched.
Oh, yeah. The bed is just like sandwiched in on her. And she never wakes up.
Right. Well, and then all the other nurses,
like a whole team of people, like four or five people come rushing in.
Yeah. Well, and this too, because I guess the alarm goes off with this. And this, I actually noticed the remote that she is holding to the switch is disconnected at this point. So I don't know if it happened when she was messing with everything or if it was just like actually just
disconnected unattached the whole time.
Yeah, just for like the heck of it. But I noticed it was like swinging
around
when all the nurses ran in. But
so she sets off the monitors. The team comes in to try to fix her. They say, "What happened in here?" And Fran says, nothing. I didn't do anything. We were just talking. Her over there, me over here, with all of the space in between us. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
And then Fran goes, can I have the remote? Do you know where the TV remote is? She like quickly forgets about this whole almost killing her roommate fiasco.
Yeah, she still wants her TV. Also, I wanted to mention like how one of the nurses wearing a backwards hat.
Was it the man who came in?
Yeah. I was just like, wait a second.
Maybe he wasn't a nurse. Maybe he was like part of like some other crew or something.
Maybe. I mean, he was wearing scrubs.
Like cleanup crew. Maybe he was like. Why would he come in to respond to this?
Yeah, that's why I think he had to be a nurse. But then I'm like, I don't know. Maybe dress code was different back then. But I don't know. I was quite taken aback when.
He's wearing a backwards ball cap.
Yeah. It's like he's. Just found off of the street running in to help this woman.
Next, we see Fran is taking a quiz through Cosmopolitan magazine. And the kids come to visit Fran before the surgery. And then Niles and Cece and Max come in. And Fran says, oh, Miss Babcock, you look gorgeous, much too young to be going to a reunion. And then Niles comes in and says, of Redwoods, maybe.
Yes, which Redwoods get very... They grow very large, long, and they can live for lots of years, hundreds of years. So he's making a stab at
big stab
at Cece once again. It's like she's old. She's young for Redwoods, but old for humans.
Yes. But here's a big surprise, everybody. Cece has her first comment back, and she says, "Dear Niles, always so witty, especially for a servant." But then Niles is not missing a beat because he says, "At least when I offer something, people take it."
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, yes, definitely. It's great to finally see Cece have some kind of response.
At least
I feel like
she spoke up.
Pretty lame response, but I mean,
she just called him a servant.
Yeah, for compared to some of these birds Nilesman's dropping, that was pretty lame. But nonetheless, it's exciting to at least finally see her entangle in this banter that will soon become more popular.
Yes, we'll start hearing from her more.
Yes, our battles will become more evened out now. First, these unanimous one way.
Cece goes to wish Fran good luck because everybody's pushing her to do it. And here are Cece's words of comfort. "I know you're scared now, but just remember, when you wake up from surgery, you'll find that the excruciating agony of an adult tonsillectomy is far worse than anything you can imagine." So I don't think that made Fran feel much better.
Yes, that's not the greatest thing to hear before I go into surgery. But
especially someone who's really nervous about it. So Max says, "If it would make you feel better, we can stay through your surgery." And Fran gets very excited about this. And Fran mentions her parents would be here, but they're in Miami right now. And then Cece directly asks Max, "Who's more important, me or the nanny?"
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty gutsy of her to pull out this ultimatum pretty quickly.
And Niles, with his neck burn, starts singing the Jeopardy music.
Max hesitates here for a minute and hasn't responded.
Dun, 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 dun,
Niles
dun,
helps, dun. Provides some background music while he mulls it over in his mind. So
Max says, "Cece, just go to the reunion and I'll catch up with you later. I got to stay here." And Cece says, "I can't show up without an escort." And then Niles says, "Why don't you just inflate one like you usually do?"
Yes, another doozy of one by Niles. So
the next scene, Cece's at her reunion. And apparently someone works at NASA and they have daycare there. There's a lot of crazy comments floating around.
Yeah, these two girls that Cece's with, I guess her sisters back in the day. I don't know, it was kind of funny because they're bragging about that their works provide daycare for them. So I guess... Well, I mean, I guess actually that'd be great because daycare is quite expensive. So works covering
fantastic.
It for free or maybe some minor fee compared to a normal daycare, that'd actually be probably worth bragging about, actually.
What a great perk, NASA.
Yeah.
So Cece tells the two women that she's chatting with she doesn't have any children yet. She's not married yet. And they're very judgmental.
Yes. Sad. They're like, "Oh, you're not married?" I'm like, oh, you don't have children?
Because that's the pinnacle of success.
Well, I think because they've probably at this point talked about, you know, we don't see it in this episode, but I would imagine that they've already talked about work would be like the first thing about their big success. So they've already discussed that.
Yes.
Now it's time to brag about how many children we have, how great our husbands are. And now Cece has nothing to contribute in this part of the conversation. So,
which shouldn't matter for Cece. So Cece, you're a powerful woman, which she is. She doesn't get too distraught by this, but...
Well, she goes with the punch bowl.
Actually, she does get pretty sad.
Yes, yeah.
So she starts drinking.
Yes, we see her go to the punch bowl here. We'll see if she goes we'll to see. It again.
We'll see what happens later.
Yeah.
So the next scene, they're giving anesthesia to Fran, and Niles and Maxwell are there to support her. And Fran gets really loopy, and this is when the nurse comes back, and she goes, quick, get the paperwork. And they shove it in front of Fran's face because Fran was skeptical before about signing the paperwork. She's like, "What do all these things mean? Am I going to die? Is this going to happen?" And then now Fran's singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall and signing all of her medical documents. And then Max says, "Are you sure this is legal?" And she says, "Oh, we always get everybody this way." Yikes.
Yeah, the nurse is holding the clipboard and Niles is holding the pen and
You get the forms, you take the pen.
Fran's signature on these papers.
And Fran's like, aha, woo! Doesn't even know what she's doing at this point.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to get someone's signatures.
So. Yeah, great way. Life hack.
Yeah.
Let's play a little song to them.
Yeah, that's their. This is their finesse moment.
The nurse's finesse. Not great. So she's very loopy. She says, I want Maggie to have all of my clothes. I want Grace to have all of my dolls. And then she says, Sister Mayfield. And then she calls him that from here on out and says that she wants him to have her.
Yes. She is starting to maybe allude to the effect that
she loves Mr. Sheffield.
She has feelings for him. Yes.
She starts blowing him kisses. And Max then doesn't know how to respond to this. And then he pulls the doctors aside and he says, can you look at her adenoids? Anything that jiggles, tighten it up.
Yes. Which the doctor here, once again, is our
pediatrician.
Yes. Lovely pediatrician. So this is his other specialty, I guess. He's doing surgeries on the side or pediatrician on the side, one of the two. So.
And the doctor says, why do they bother her? And then Max says, well, not so much her. That's mean. So anyway, Fran tells Max that she loves him now. And he looks confused, but touched.
Yes, he's distraught. He's been hit with this bomb of a statement. So now he must consider what to make of this.
Would you think this is a dapper daddy moment?
Oh, yes. I was thinking what they actually had the conversation. But yeah, we can do it here too. I mean, it's the
intro to the dapper daddy.
That's true. This is the pinnacle of this moment. Yes. Because now we've officially yeah, I meant more so like that. No, that was great too. But
no, that was great too.
But like the whole dating debacle is like, because this is about them actually dating. So
yes,
this is like a real, like, this is where
it all starts.
Yeah, the car meets the tarmac. Tire meets the tarmac. So, all right.
So in this next scene, Cece, we're back at her reunion. She tells her friends Max should be there any moment now, and they are very judgmental. And then we cut back to the hospital, and now Brighton is messing with her poor roommate's IV. Just like Fran was messing with her food and her remote. Like, this woman can't catch a break. That's why you probably shouldn't have roommates in the hospital.
Yes, yeah. Especially if you have guests coming in to visit. So
the doctor comes in and says her surgery went quite well. And that was reassuring for Max and Niles and the children to hear. But he says that her adenoids were quite remarkable. And he said, I'd remove them, but I'm afraid her head would actually cave in. So very large.
Yes. I don't know if them caving in would be a medically correct statement, but.
What more would you expect from this guy?
Yeah.
So Max sends the kids to the gift shop to get something for Fran. And then Max pulls Niles aside and says he's worried about Fran just being in love with him now. He always thought of her as just the nanny, and Niles is not believing that. And Max says, it's pretty awkward, but, you know, you can't blame her. She's dazzled by me. Which, this is like him being pretty full of himself here.
Yeah, well, I think it shows, too, that he actually kind of has some feelings for her. And since he's, like,
he's trying to play it off.
Well, but, yeah, but he's excited that she does have feelings because he has some feelings. So then he's very egotistical about it now because, I don't know, I mean, if you have feelings for someone and then you find out they like you, I mean, sure, it kind of, like, inflates your...
You're like,
you kind of bubble up a little bit and, yeah, so... Can like understand,
but he says he hopes he can let her down gently. Like, he's trying to pretend that he is not in this.
Yes, right. Yeah, I don't think he wants to show anything to Niles yet.
No. So Fran gets wheeled in, and she is telling everyone she loves them. I love you. I love you. And then she looks at the IV post, and she says, "Hey, skinny, I love you too." And then Max says to Niles, "I don't want to hear it." And Niles, like, covers his mouth and then runs in the hallway and starts dying laughing.
Yeah. Well, I love when they have him. I don't know. The way Niles shouts is great. I don't know. I love the way he shouts at all these things. Like, with
like the really loud laughing shout.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this one, the one where he makes the meal. He's like, oh, yeah, of course. I'm a professional. And then he has to scream because he's got 30 minutes to make it. I don't know. It's
always in the hallway away from people.
Yeah. It was like great how they did that. I love that.
Yeah, that's great. Pretty cool. So in this next scene, Cece is dancing around with the ladle from the punch bowl, like twisting and turning. What do you think about this?
Yeah, so I mean, I think at this point, because we both scenes, we see her go to grab punch. So
a lot of punch, and yes. She probably drank it all at this point.
Yeah, so I think she's intoxicated at this point.
So she's like pretending the ladle is like her dance partner.
Yes, everyone has left
except
the janitor.
The janitor
cleaning up the scene.
I loved this scene. So Max then arrives with Cece dancing with the ladle. And Cece, intoxicated, introduces Max to everybody. Meet Maxwell Sheffield. And then the janitor cleaning, who doesn't speak English, says, mucho gusto, señor.
Yeah, he actually looked like
he's like honored to meet him.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
Yeah, that was.
He's saying, good. A pleasure, sir. And the event is over, and Maxwell clearly didn't make it in time. But
yes.
Who knows if Cece will really harp onto that fact now.
Yeah. I have to say, I feel pretty bad for her. She
had to resort to dancing with a ladle and hanging out with the janitor after.
And to endure that whole thing with the other sisters.
No escort.
I think it's also kind of contributes to our shows, like, you know, we see Cece and her character, and I think this kind of plays a lot into her development, because you kind of see, well, this is the sorority she was with. These are the type of people she was around a lot of the time. So I think this kind of formed her into the person she is now, because you see all these, the way they're still acting. And then you see how Cece, like, tries to ruin their friendship in the other scene, because they mentioned, like, she's like, oh, well, I heard Brian was, you know, with you in Barbados or whatever. To like the friends to like make them lose their friendship, but
yeah, well, it seems like she does have like more knowledge that this is all catty, crazy behavior anyway. In this next scene, Fran and Niles are now ringing their bells for ice cream and tea. Niles is sick, Fran is recovering from her surgery, and now the kids are waiting on them, so the roles are reversed.
Yes, it is time to experience life from the other side.
Yes. And then Cece comes in and she is taunting Fran and says, oh, cat got your tongue, because Fran can't talk now after the surgery. And she says, oh, this is a dream come true. I feel like I've died and gone to heaven. And then our last burn from Niles comes in here. And Niles says, I have that dream too, but you go in the other direction.
Yes, he's not been nice this whole episode. Like almost, yeah, pretty much every time Cece had an appearance here, he said
burned
something.
Her. Yeah. So that was our last burn.
Yes, it is time to evaluate the results of that that battle. Is this heaven or is this hell? Maybe sometimes both as
well. Naughty nights and sassy Cece. All right, going over all the burns here. Burn one from Niles. We'd cut you down in a week or two.
Yes.
Burn two. A successful career and a successful career. How do you balance those two things?
Number three, we'll try to restrain ourselves.
Number four, of redwoods, maybe.
Number five, at least when I offer something, people take it.
Number six, dun, 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 dun.
Yes, and number seven, why don't you inflate one up like you usually do?
And number eight, I have that dream too, but you go in the other direction.
Yes.
Compared to Cece's one burn. Dear Niles, always so witty, especially for his servant.
Yes, Cece finally has a response. Oh, it's more like half a point. It's pretty bad. But nonetheless, she has made her mark. She is making history.
for herself.
Yes.
Niles 8, Cece.
Uno.
You counted it as half.
Yeah. Half to uno. Half to one.
Okay. So.
Depending on your personal interpretation of that.
True.
There's no debate here. Niles is the winner, so.
So Cece then pours herself a glass of juice from the table that's sitting in front of Fran. And it looks like apple juice, but Fran writes on a board to tell Cece that is not apple juice. So are we supposed to insinuate that Cece is drinking a glass of urine
yes.
that Fran left on the table?
But I don't know why she would have had to
test it.
Collect a urine sample or something.
On the table.
Yeah. I mean, for a tonsillectomy, why would you need to do that? Maybe she's just being fun with her. Maybe it is actually.
I think she's kidding.
Yeah.
But why would that ever be on the table?
Right. That's why I think you're right. I think this is more of a joke just to have Cece have that thought just for that split second.
Yes. Well, Cece was messing with Fran, so that was Fran's way to get back at her.
Right.
So in this next scene, we see Fran showing Niles all the things that now she stole from the hospital, just like she took from the doctor's office originally.
Yes. Well, in the credits, yeah.
Yes, in the credits. And she pulls out an IV stand. How'd you even fit that in your bag? A portable toilet, etc. And Niles says, what are you going to do with this stuff? And about the IV stand, Fran says that she's going to make it into a nice lamp. So do you think that counts as a small finesse moment?
To make a lamp stand.
To make a lamp out of an IV pole.
Yeah, we could do that one. Friend finds
finesse. And now it's time for our recap.
We're moving in. Let's put this all together. These moments
all forever. The three kids are sick and they ring for Niles and Fran.
Ring, ring, wing. I need my food.
Wing, wing. Cece has Max taking her to her sorority reunion.
Party. Up in the hizzy.
Fran's tonsils need to be removed, says the pediatrician.
I am a licensed doctor for you, even though I'm for children. Need them gone.
Tonsils out now.
Removed. Pronto. Life-threatening.
Fran has to stay overnight for her surgery.
It's for the experience. A high-class experience of a hospital.
$1,000 experience.
Yes. Hand me my stethoscope as I sip on some hospital water.
Fran is loopy on medication.
She's drugged up on Valium. Or diazepam. Same thing.
Schister Mayfield. She loves Schister Mayfield.
She loves him when she's drugged up.
Max thinks a lot about himself.
Ah, yes, of course. Who could not fall for my charm?
And Fran is telling everybody she loves them and the IV pole.
I love you and I love you, skinny. I mean, she really did since she took him home. The IV bag.
That's true. Max stays for Fran's surgery and misses Cece's reunion with all of her snobby friends.
He shows up late. The janitor got to see him. That's all that mattered, really.
And he was very happy to see him.
Yes. He was probably the most excited person out of anyone who would have seen him. So
Max meets Cece's date, the ladle, and her audience member, the janitor.
Yes.
Niles and Fran are sick and recovering and ring for help from the children.
Yes. We need our food now. Tables have turned.
Fran takes all the medical supplies from the hospital.
My lamp stand.
My lamp stand. My lamp stand.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of this episode. We've had our tonsils removed and we're ready to move on with life.
That's right. We stayed overnight, paid $1,000 to spend a weird night in the hospital, and here we are.
Yes, we are now moving on to our farewells.
I'm going to schedule another appointment with my pediatrician. What about you?
I'm going to eat some ice cream like Fran did.
Oh, that sounds great. We'll catch you guys next time.
Next time it is. Ciao.
Bye.